Welcome to the new sound of online radio. Welcome to the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network. 'Cause you make me feel like I've been locked out of heaven. A mix of today's hits and hard-to-find favorites, combined with the most entertaining and intriguing talk anywhere. This is your sound. This is the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network at UPNRadio.com.
We're talking love in the modern world. This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Morning, happy Wednesday. Welcome to Dates and Mates. This is our last show of the year for you, so I have lined up an action-packed day for you. I have not one, but two guests. I have a guest, you've seen him on the show before, Rude Jude, also known as Jude Angelini. He's an author, he's a host of The All Out Show, as well as a podcast, the ForReallyShow.com. You can check it out there. He's going to be talking to us about his brand new book, Hyena, which will have you laughing, crying, and taking a shower after you read it. It's a little bit raunchy. I'm here with producer Naina.
Happy Wednesday.
You ready to get raunchy, girl?
You know, I never know what to expect. That's the truth.
Well, if you're not ready to get raunchy, I do have a second guest. Her name is Alexandra Jameson, and she is a nutrition expert. She's actually one of the stars and producers of the hit film Super Size Me. I'm a big fan of her work, and she has a new book coming out as well called Women, Food, and Desire. So we have something for everybody on the show today. Also, Devin is in the house.
In the house.
You're also live tweeting at Dates Mates Media, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You have any nuggets of wisdom to share with us? You love it when I say nuggets of wisdom.
Just be kind, you know, be kind to one another, you know.
It's the holiday season. Hanukkah just started.
Yesterday, right?
I lit those candles. My husband finally let me use the light up menorah. I have like one of those really cheesy plastic light up menorahs, and I just really, I love it. And for so many years, he's been like, It's not a classy enough menorah for him, but he finally said
one,
yes.
Like the stainless steel one.
I don't
really
want
nice.
It. I want the
really?
Cheesy plastic.
Why?
Because I like the glowing.
Oh wow.
The glowing lights, and I don't know. I just think of, nothing says Hanukkah like a plastic menorah.
Okay.
So, if you want to talk to our guest today, you want some advice from me. This is your last chance of the year. So go ahead and sign on to the chat roll now. If you're listening live on UBN Radio, you can sign in with Facebook or Twitter or tweet us at Dates Mates Media, and we may answer your question on this show, or we may tweet your answer or answer it in the new year. So I do have one question. We just got to start it off. I have a question from one of my clients, and we're going to call him Jay. He's been dating a lot recently, thanks to someone you know. But he keeps getting stuck in the friend zone, or actually I should say the boyfriend zone, which he doesn't really want to be in. He's young and wants to have fun and date around. And he's wondering if there's something about him that's making people see him as a boyfriend type. But like he keeps getting stuck in holding hands and... He doesn't want that. He wants some women who will, you know, give up the cookie without some commitment. So, Devin, I want to hear your perspective on this too. And Naina, you're a dater.
Yes, I am.
You're a woman. He's kind of asking me, how do I know if a girl is what DTF or whatever what do the kids say now, Devin?
About it.
If the girl's about it,
if she's
right?
about it, trying to give up the cookie,
right?
Guess what? She's a thought if she is giving up the cookie.
What's
that early?
What's a thought?
That you have to over there, that hoe over there.
It's slang.
I don't like that. Like, first of all,
you don't like that he's just going for that.
He's dating just to get some ass. Is that what he's doing? That's so trifling.
Well, he's a little inexperienced. So the first step was just getting him out there. The second step is now getting him to experience what's out there. He's just not in the mood for a relationship right now. But all the girls he seems to be dating
put him in the friend zone because they already know. Women, hey guys, we were born with a radar. We know when you're full of crap most of the time. Mm. So they probably can sense that he's just trying to get laid.
Or that's too, that. Yeah, he's too hungry
eager.
For
he's
it.
He's too eager beaver. Like, simmer down. If he wants that, just, you know, do the things that you genuinely know will get you to that. But any woman that's, like, easy like that is probably not worth it anyway. But
yeah. I mean,
can
if
I
he's
jump
not
in?
Looking for a
please
long
jump
time.
I jump,
wait, I, my guest just jumped in.
Jump
couldn't
in.
Even wait.
Come on, dude.
All right. Rude Jude. You just couldn't even control yourself.
Yeah, it's not. There's a gray area that we live in, and it's not like you're either a girlfriend or a thought. And I think women should be able to sleep with somebody without strings attached. It's just you gotta let a person know what you have to offer. And like, if he's not selling her a lie, like if he's like, hey, this is what I want from you, I'll respect you, I'll call you back when we're hanging out together, it's gonna be just me and you, but I'm not gonna be your boyfriend. Like,
but I think there
that's
must be
better.
Something in his
that,
behavior.
But it sounds like he's coming at it where he's trying to, like,
he sounds
not,
like a,
he's not being upfront about it.
He sounds like a he's being he, you know what it is? He's too nice. He doesn't know how to
be a player.
Yeah,
but you still you said the key word you said is respect you, call you back. You still have to treat a woman with respect if you are expecting her to trust you
yes.
to be able to put out. Like, she's not, if she doesn't trust you, forget it, you're dead in the water. But I actually gave him two pieces of advice. I think he is dating the wrong set of women too, and I went through his he had me look at some of his messages, and I saw there's certain keywords in profiles that are red flags.
Like what?
So I went through and read, and a lot of the women that he messaged straight up said in their profile, I am looking for a boyfriend, or guys get caught up in, like, oh, she's pretty,
because they translate that as I will sleep with you, I want a boyfriend. That means I want to give you up, give you the cookies.
When
that's
I hear that,
right.
When I hear I want a boyfriend, that's like, please don't send me pictures of your penis. Like, that's where it is.
Dick pics, right?
Yeah, it's like
right.
Like, you don't really. Do you really want
a
boyfriend?
Yeah. Well, they're saying attention. That. Another one said, I appreciate a man who acts like a gentleman and still opens doors. Like, that's, she's just, she has a certain level of expectation.
Absolutely.
That he's not reading in between the lines.
She should expect
I don't
it.
Want any short yeah. relationship is another one.
Right.
So all the
so
clues
these
are in there.
Are being upfront. He's not
it has
being upfront.
To, and, well, and it has to do with the selection of the kind of women that he's approaching. So
where is he on? What is he, what side is he using?
Can I say? He's on Match.
He needs to say, I'm looking for a good time. Bam. That, like, really, that's when I read
that
if
works
I, if
for
I
you.
See if I see it doesn't work for me, it actually shows me that you're straight up front with it and you are looking for a good
would
time
you
and
ever
not,
write
and not
that
looking,
by guy,
not,
that
I've seen
guy
that.
Back
I'm on Tinder, right, and I've seen guys say, I'm not looking for a relationship, I'm just looking to meet new people and have a good time. That's
yeah
that's
so I said
me,
look for those words: fun, spontaneous, have a good time, casual,
right.
I'm
right.
a free spirit or whatever. Okay, yep. Okay. Those are the kind of words you need to be looking for in the profile. And I also suggested he try Tinder. And just before we go further, I do want to properly introduce my guest, because he's that awesome. I want you to know what he's about. Jude Angelini, you know him as Rude Jude. You've seen him. He was on the Jenny Jones show back in the day. Now he hosts one of the top-rated hip-hop shows, The All Out Show on Shade 45. He also has a podcast, For Really Show. And he's
sorry,
an author.
Sorry I jumped in so early. I just didn't want Naina to keep girls from sleeping with me. She's like, and if
I
you
wish
sleep
I had a
around,
sound effect for
you
that.
Are a thought. I'm like, hold on a sec. Boop, 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 boop. Hold up.
Well, and I've read your book. I've read your book, Hyena. And I mean, it's very real, Jude. It's basically a collection of stories about your life. And I know you don't seem to have a problem with girls sleeping with you. That does not seem to be the problem. You tell everybody about it in the book. But I just have to say, first of all, it is a really well-written book. And I obviously, I'm not the only one that thinks that. You have 4.9 out of 5 stars on Amazon. I don't even know how you get that.
I think he deserves smooches.
Big
right?
smooches. Thank you.
I'll take it.
So, so you've been dabbling in the Tinder too?
Yeah, I have. Well, Tinder's weird, man. Like, Tinder's supposed to be like this hookup thing, but the market is pushing it where it's not a hookup thing anymore. So now you'll have women on there saying that I'm looking for something like real,
serious.
Yes.
And I, yeah. This is how, as a man, this is how you do Tinder: like everyone possible.
Exactly.
I know that's how y'all do it.
Exactly.
And then I'll, yeah.
You put the power back in your own hands.
Because you feel so, like, because I was, the problem, you're dead on. I was approaching Tinder, like, sincerely. I would go on there. I would look at a picture. I would, oh, she's with the dog. I don't like dogs. Okay, I won't talk to her. Like,
you're reducing your chances of a match because you both have to swipe right to get
connected. Both have to swipe right. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I'm really putting thought into each one of these women. I might get three girls in an hour, and then you know,
you're sitting around waiting.
None of them hit me back, yeah. And there's no worse feeling. And I get girls, you know. There's no worse feeling.
We
than,
know.
Like,
we read the book. We know.
That's just the like. That's not me bragging on my dick. That's just like me.
Can say whatever you want.
That's not me bragging. It's just like, this is what happens.
Just
this
what
is
happens.
What I do. I got.
I just got
sex.
A golden shower from a little person. That's just what happened.
Yeah.
I know you said midget in the book, but.
Yeah.
Naina's like, ooh, okay.
She's like, I want to try that.
It just happened.
No, actually, I don't.
Naina, it just happened.
So for the listeners, I don't want to try that.
It's cool. It's
although.
Cool. We'll do it later.
Although, you know. This isn't your first foray into online dating. The last time you were on the show, you told us about online dating. And also, there was one of the most memorable stories for me in the book was about a hookup you picked up on Craigslist.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. Just to give you guys a taste, you got to get the book. You got to read Hyena to get the full experience of this. I will not do it justice, but it does involve a pregnant woman.
Man, you just give away punchlines at the beginning, huh? Like, yeah, it was. I didn't know she was pregnant. Like, she showed up. I thought she was fat. Like, I thought she was fat. And so picture this. You're going the whole day. And you're like trying to get out of the date, like, oh, I don't know about this one.
She wanted to do like a some sort of
she wanted to rape her. No, she wanted rape sex.
Wow. She wanted rape sex, and then she happens to be pregnant. Anything off limits? But you were still gonna do it.
I did do it.
Well,
and the thing that made
I won't
me
tell
do
everybody
it,
the end.
Well, fuck it, we already did tell the end. You started off with the end.
Jude, you got about 30 stories in here, so if I tell people one,
I'm just saying, like, yeah. So
they're still gonna want to read it.
I honestly didn't want to. I really didn't want to do the rape sex with her, and I was just like. Like, we can go back to the crib and do, like, regular sex. Like, we go, let's just go do regular sex. But she kind of pressured me into having rape sex. I was the one that got used in this situation.
But not just rape sex, pregnant rape sex.
That was the thing that was the kicker. Like, I was rubbing.
But you were already into it. You were still going for
it. I was
going
to kick her out the crib because she kept pushing for the rape. And I'm like, nah, I can't do this. And then I rubbed on her belly and it was mad hard and I was like,
"You're like, you're like, fat, but you've been working. Have you been working out?
Did you stop right then?"
Well, she had on a girdle that was pushing in her belly, in her pregnant belly.
Lies she told. Yeah, lies.
This is like.
She was tripping,
dog. And I, like y'all, it's a lot of ladies out there listening. You hear about all the crappy stuff men do, but guess what, man? Y'all chicks be lying on your weight, be lying about having babies in your belly. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, be putting kids on other dudes. Don't act like you're great.
Not all of us.
Not all men are dogs.
There are some
bogus
women out there. Yes.
You know, like everyone's trifling, and so. But here's the deal.
She used that word earlier. That was fun.
I like pregnant sex. So when I found out she was pregnant, I was like, "This is awesome. Go to the bedroom." I was like,
"Okay." Having been somewhat recently pregnant, I don't understand this. Some people do find pregnant women sexy. Not sexy.
Well, you're not a man.
Because you're
pregnant.
But
you also don't feel sexy. You feel like you can't
move. But they like all that extra.
What is it? Please tell me.
Well, yeah, like, it's sexy on so many levels. It's like, just as a caveman, it's like, this life inside of you. Like, you're making
life.
Like,
you're going to take the.
No, it's just like,
you're going to take some of that energy and that's going to.
It's not even that. It's just proof. Like, this is like you're a woman. Like, this is. You don't get any more womanly than having a baby inside of you. Like that is the pinnacle of being of femininity.
And Devin, don't even get into this because I have to see you,
Devin,
later.
Ready.
No, I'm not saying that I'm attracted to pregnant women, but I can understand what he's saying. It's two opposite ends of the spectrum.
we can't have a kid. So you don't get any more woman than having a kid. So it's like, you know, there's some women that you got the bearded lady at the carnival and whatnot. You know, you got those. That's being close to as man as you can get. No guy likes that. But you having a kid, that's like, oh,
I don't know,
man.
An American Horror Story. There are guys that like that.
The other is, it gets extra it's extra down there. It gets real. There's a lot of action going on down there. There's a lot of action.
It's called amniotic fluid. No.
Right.
Whatever science, that shit feels awesome. And then, you can't
but
get her pregnant again.
But it doesn't gross you out that the baby is by somebody else.
That's even better. Like, good. I'm not damaging my child's head. I'm not like putting dick in my child's head. Like, it's someone else's
child's head can have dick in it.
Yes.
I see. I told you this
was
going
to
be
do with me.
This is going to be a lively show. You guys jump on that chat roll right now, Facebook or Twitter. Sign in there. Man. We want to talk to you. I know you have something to say about this. So the bottom line is, Jude, is there anything
and
off?
I don't even think my
is there
dick,
anything too freaky for you?
I don't even think my penis is big enough to touch the baby.
Okay.
You
we
know,
are moving
I'm just
on
throwing
from
it
that.
Out there. Like, I don't even think I'm touching the child.
You're not.
We're probably inches apart. Like, they're chilling up there.
They can't even feel it. Nah. But, I just have to ask, is there anything that is too freaky for you that you would say, no, I cannot do that?
You know what bums me out is smells. Like, I just can't get past bad smells. Like, I can wrap my head around basically anything. I can get down with anything. But if it starts to stink, I can't do it. There's been some times where I was stuck with a chick with some bad breath or something. And I've had to go rub.
That's it. That's the breaking point. Bad breath is the breaking point.
Isn't that funny? Like, I can get peed on, but like, if your breath smells, like, I got it. Like, yeesh.
Yeesh.
I had to rub peppermint oil inside of my nostrils to finish the job.
Does that work?
I read about it because that's what they used to do in the morgue, like, back in the day. They would put like scented oils in their nose. I was like, let me try. It worked. It worked.
Is that one of the aphrodisiac oils too? Peppermint oil?
I don't.
You put like vanilla or
lavender.
Lavender.
Yep, lavender.
But you don't have to put it all the way in your nose. Just for those of you who are
that
listening, you can just put a little bit
the
under.
Stop the halitosis.
Okay,
yeah,
so
we do have a comment on the chat roll.
I'm
though.
Sure we do.
Queen Jean says, "I don't understand why casual sex is free."
It
you
isn't.
Should be getting paid.
We do pay. Men do end up paying. I have to listen to your stories.
No.
That is a lot.
The value of the cookie is way more than you guys sitting and listening to us.
My dick is really good.
I'm
right?
sure
so,
it is,
like,
but guess
don't
what?
Don't overvalue
we
your
don't know
vagina.
It's a mutual exchange. It's a mutual exchange.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like that. And this is what, like, when did you guys got to take your vagina off the platter?
It's overrated.
Like, you're just the, like.
It well, is look, on the platter.
Let's be real.
That's
everybody
there's
has
thirsty
a
dudes
certain.
Out there.
There's everyone has a certain value and currency. There's an exchange, and sex is in a way a form of currency.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I'm quite the conversationalist. I'm bright, I'm well mannered, and I feel that if I'm spending time with a woman, she should appreciate it, just like I appreciate her company.
So, is there that expectation if you take
a
woman out?
No, I don't.
There's no expectation.
No. I don't want anybody to do anything that they don't want to do. Like, that is not sexy to me. I don't even like my even my approach. Like, you know, I'm not even like Rocky trying to take the pussy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, is this what you want to do?
What is your way into it?
Tell us, what is your approach? I guess it depends on the situation.
It does depend on the situation. The first time, it's always I just make sure that we're on the same page. I want her to know what she can expect from me. Because, look, I don't want. What a lot of people want is they want to be lied to. They know what the hell it is. They see all the clues, but then they allow a dude to lie to them so that they can get some dick and some attention, and then they can wash their hands of any responsibility of, oh, but he said this. Well, he might have said this, but you saw him checking out four other girls. You saw him texting other people the whole night. You saw him blowing you off twice. So it doesn't matter what he says. What is he doing?
That's very true, actually. That's very good advice. Because a lot of times people don't hear what's being said to them, and they wait for it to be proven to them over and over and over again.
Well, they, you know.
I know.
You know. Like,
I know.
We all know. But it's like, but people want attention. Like, I look on that Tinder, like, and I think half the chicks are on there just so they can talk to boys. You know what I mean? And I don't even know if they want to go out with them. They just want attention. They want to be paid attention to.
Well, that's one of the challenges of Tinder. So many people get stuck in the
conversation.
Yeah, but you that's get how stuck in the chat. You never get offline.
The best way I've used Tinder is pretty much you have that conversation back and forth, and you see where that person is at with it. Like, hey, what are you on here for? Like, we straight up, I've had good conversations. We ask each other, what are you looking for? How's it been? And that clarifies it. I'm not looking for that. And, you know, it was thanks for swiping right. Good luck.
Yep.
You know, but I do think that there are women that are looking for a serious relationship who are afraid if I say that he's going to run away. So I have to say, oh, I'm just looking to have fun. I'm looking for a good time.
No.
And then ultimately they set themselves up for disappointment when that's not really what they want.
Yeah, but if you want a valuable relationship, you're not going to be afraid if somebody runs away. Because if they run away, they're not meant to be with you in the first place.
Like, well, you're saying that.
Yeah, I'm saying that because I've been through the storm and back. So I know better. But I guess there are women out there that, you know, just they swipe right a lot, and they're doing the same thing that guys are doing and expecting to get a relationship, and that's totally not gonna work.
I think there's a million and one ways to get to where you need to go. You might be able to bang a guy into liking you. I'll never bang my way into liking you, you know what I mean? But like, somebody might, you know, like there might be some ways, but you just...
There might be, but yeah, let's not sit around and wait for it. But there's a lot of casual sex in the book, but there's somebody in your life who's sort of the one that got away.
Well, the casual sex was just to,
it was just filler to fill
that void. You know, like the sex and the drugs is to fill this void, and to, sex was a coping mechanism, just...
So are you past that part of your life, you feel?
No, I still sleep around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like over it. I'm not fixed. You know, I still do drugs. I still sleep around. And that's probably going to be me, you know, until I get a good woman. And then I'll have a good woman and still be miserable. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to make you happy.
So in the book, you talk a lot about your ex, Julie.
Yeah, that's right.
And... There's something different about the way that you talk about her and the way you talk about other women.
Well, I use her name. I don't use anybody else's name.
Right, right, right. But even the way that you refer to her, what is it that made her different than other women?
She made me laugh. You know, I loved her. I grew up in a broken home where my mom would take me to go cheat on my dad, and I'd just be sitting in the room while she was cheating on my old man, and my dad did awful things to my mother, and it created this distrust. Like, it's hard for me to trust. So when I finally do settle down with a woman, like, I love her to death. Like, this is the one. Like, I've had two girlfriends. That's it.
So how does someone break through? How does someone get to that point, though?
I don't know. It's like a choice. I have to choose, you know?
Do they start out the same? And then, the relationship starts out the same? And then there's something that happens that, like, makes you say, hey, wait a minute.
To the point a little bit before, like, I had two girlfriends. One made me wait 6 months to sleep with her. The other one I slept with immediately. We were both together for 5 years. It doesn't matter. It's that chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
It's that chemistry. It's what... You know, Julie made me laugh. You know, she was funny and lighthearted, and I saw things in her that I wish I had, you know. Mm.
And you're a parent, too. We talked about this last time you were on the show, and you do talk about your relationship with your daughter. So has she read the book?
I gave her the book. I needed to get ahead of that book. You know what I mean? Like, I planned
You don't want her to just find it like, oh, Jude Angelini, that's my dad's name. I'm going to read this book. Hyena. Oh,
yeah.
That's.
I know. And
do you think it'll change her perspective on you?
I don't know. I'm being peed on. You know what I mean? Like, so probably.
Yeah.
I just gave it to her. I was like, wait. I told her, I was like, wait till you're 30 before you read this book, if you need to read the book. I just want you to have the book because I don't want your friends running to you and be like, oh, did you hear about your dad? You know, like, so, you know. It's damage control. Like, I just want to get ahead of it. But, like, it's my story. Unfortunately, she's in my life. Unfortunately for her, she's in my life, so she's attached to that story.
And you didn't even really have a relationship with her mom.
I didn't. You know, I'm from an area. We had a different value system. You know, like, it was... be good at sports or good at fighting or good at making money or good at pulling chicks. Mm-hmm. And we would just try to pull girls and then tell them what they wanted to hear and get money out of them or get shoes and it was or get clothes. And that was what it was. Like they were a woman was a hole, basically, and a way for me to get things from.
Well, yeah, I was going to say a means to an end. And that was something that also struck me about the book, because people are often talking about how women are gold diggers and women will prey on a man to get what they want. But what you say, growing up, we used to bang chicks for shoes, shirts, their car, money, anything. And it was almost a contest for you guys.
It was.
Did you see yourselves as gold diggers?
Yeah. I mean, and here's the deal. Like, look, man, these are neighborhoods where, like, there's no father around. And then the mother you do see is chock full of bad decisions. Like, mm-hmm. So, like, who's teaching me how to be a man, one? And who's showing me that women are, that I shouldn't do that to a woman?
So, the way you talk about it now, it seems like you have a different.
Well, I've grown up a bit, you know? I've grown up a bit. Even having a daughter made me reevaluate the way I treat women. Like, I still sleep around, but I'm completely honest with them. Mm. Like, I wouldn't want anybody to do my kid like that. And it really made me, adjust. I was like, all right, man, I got a kid. Like, And guess what? I still have a very satisfied life as far as, like, the dating life goes. So, fellas, you don't have to lie to a chick to get what you want. You might not get it from that girl. She might be like, you're not for me. But guess what? Someone else will mess with you. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it. It's not worth lying.
I was going to say, I just had a son. So is there any advice that you would give to me as a parent and how to raise
I'm awful. I am awful.
People are always calling you on your radio show asking you for advice. And honestly, you give very great advice, and you always deliver it in your own style.
You know what? You know what I found that's working for me lately, or that in this time of like the feminist movement came about, like I feel that men don't know how to be men anymore. Like they don't know what to do.
We confuse them a little bit.
Yeah, they don't know what to do. So like for me, just letting a woman feel like a woman and being a man, like just be a fucking man, dude. Handle shit. Like they need to know that you got it. You know, like, they need to know that you got it covered. Like handle it, and handle it in the bedroom. Handle it out and about.
Mm-hmm.
Walk on the right side of the street. Walk. Keep her on the inside. Just like these little things that it doesn't like the sum is greater than what is the part is greater
equal,
than
the equal sum of its parts.
Yeah, something like that. All these little things help.
Go look that one up, Devin.
Thank you.
You can tweet it later.
I appreciate it. But like, it's all these little things that help make a woman feel like a woman. Because that's what I'm saying is in a lot of these relationships is these women don't get to be women anymore. Mm-hmm. They're someone's mom. They're like, you know, they got these little punk ass men that they boss around, and like, do you really like doing that? Do you really want to be running your man? Like that's who you let inside of you every night, some weakling that you just pushed around.
Well, I think now women need to feel like they are an equal participant though in the relationship, and I think this all boils down to respect, and whether whether the roles have changed or the way we do it changes, having respect for your partner, whoever you're with, and meeting them where they are at that time, whether it's for a casual relationship or for a long-term relationship.
That's right. I agree with you. And I agree. And it all comes down to respect, man. Like you know, just like my thing is this, like I have a casual booty call chick that, and it's like she blew me off, and I hit her up and I'm like, hey, look, man, I respect my time. I respect your time. Like all I can offer you is dick and honesty. So like,
where are my sound effects?
The dick and honesty sound effect. We didn't have the cue ready for that. Maybe the next time we have you on the show, we'll have our dick and honesty sound effect loaded up. I hope that everybody will check out this book. Honestly, it really is one of the best reads. And hey, the holidays are coming up. People can pick up a copy of Hyena.
And here's the deal. Like, look, it might not be where you're from, but like, this is where a lot of people in America are from. Like, mm-hmm. Come and look, take a look inside of where we're from, or maybe you want to see what inside the mind of a womanizer, or you know, it's like, a lot of it's gonna make you be like, "What the hell is this?" But I'm gonna tell you, it's not a lie.
It's real stuff.
It's all real.
And it is an entertaining read, if nothing else. So thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing Hyena with us, and and even though I gave away one little piece of information,
girl, I'm not sweating that.
There's so much else that's in there you're gonna want to check out. So people can get it on Amazon, right? Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, or even go to your local go to your local bookstore. But it's
but go fast because it might get banned. So go get it before that happens.
Ladies, you want to introduce like choke sex to your husband? Give him that book. You know what I'm saying? Break the ice.
Nothing says yes. Nothing says the holidays like that. So thank you so much, Jude. People also can check out your podcast, the For Really Show.
Yeah, For Really.
For Really. Forelly show.com. People can find out more about that. And also, you're on Instagram at One More Jude.
OneMoreJude. Come see, put a face to the voice.
It's probably not what you expect if you're listening to the audio. Thank you so much, Jude.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Alexandra Jameson, who's going to talk about women, food, and desire. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a hot date set up for this weekend? Well, you should. If you're online dating and you're not getting the messages you want from the people you want, something needs to change. That's why I created a free video, The 5 Biggest Online Dating Mistakes You're Probably Making Right Now and How to Fix Them. I've seen clients double and even triple their inbox overnight just by using the tips I show you in this video. So if you're ready to become an online dating success story, go to datesandmates.com to access the 5 biggest mistakes, and you'll get a very special bonus. For the ladies, the Make Him Message method will get that hottie you see online pursuing you. And the guys get exclusive insight into the 7 reasons why she's not sleeping with you. Go to datesandmates.com now, click the button for the 5 biggest mistakes video, and kickstart your heart today.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. Whew, it's been a hot show, and we have more for you. One of the co-stars and creators of Super Size Me, one of my favorite documentaries, Alex Jameson is with us. She's a nutrition expert, and she is a best-selling author with a new book, Women, Food, and Desire, coming out in January. And now she's going to talk to us about how we can control our cravings as women and really listen to our bodies to get what we want out of life, out of our relationships, and so much more. Please give big smooches to Alex Jameson.
Hello. Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss. Thank you so much for joining us. Look, I'm a fan of your work, and so I'm so glad that you could join us. And I think the work that you're doing with Desire, I watched your TED Talk as well, and you were kind of introduced to the American audience as you were a vegan, you were very, very healthy, and but you were in a relationship with Morgan Spurlock, who was in the film, and you said in your TED Talk how you started to have some cravings that you couldn't deny. Cravings for meat.
Meat. Yes.
Very scary for a vegan, and especially for someone who's really built their brand around healthy eating, vegan eating. So how did you work through your cravings in that situation, and how did that lead you to writing this book?
Well, it was very frustrating for me to start suddenly experiencing in my mid-30s, after having been healthy and happy and vegan and very publicly vegan in an Oscar-nominated documentary about being vegan, to suddenly have health problems and cravings for meat. And now with some hindsight, I can see that the two things were related, but at the time I was in this place of total frustration and overwhelm. And what was happening for me was now in my mid-30s, my hormones were changing. Mm-hmm. And this happens to so many women. They hit the 35, 37, 38 mark, and stuff just starts changing. Like, what is going on with my body?
Right.
And my menstrual cycle was getting shorter and shorter every 14, 16 days. And I tried everything in the vegan framework to fix it. You know, more superfoods.
More quinoa.
More kale. More sea vegetables. And it wasn't working. And I'd written 3 books on vegan nutrition and diet and had all these experts to rely on, but it didn't work. And I finally, after over a year of fighting with these cravings for meat, I realized I help other people learn to listen to their body, to find their best diet, to get in alignment with their unique bio-individuality. But I wasn't allowing myself the same compassion.
I'll level with you. I am a reformed vegetarian. And I found the same thing. I was tired and sluggish all the time. I also couldn't lose weight. I kind of became a vegetarian for weight loss and health reasons. But interestingly, I didn't really feel that healthy. So I started eating meat 11 years ago again. And interestingly, it was around the same time. Oh, no, maybe it was 12. It was around the same time that my husband became a vegetarian right before we met. So now we're both on opposite sides of the spectrum. But I feel so much better eating meat. And even though it's not necessarily what aligns with my vision of what I should be eating, it's what makes me feel more healthy.
Well, here's the deal. We're all so different.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all been brainwashed to think that food is a moral issue and that we should be eating a certain way. And if we don't, there's something wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it all the time. There's this food snobbery that seems to be getting worse and worse. Now, don't get me wrong. I grew up on an organic farm. My mom had an organic gardening radio show for 11 years when I was a kid. Like, I was born steeped and raised in this stuff.
Right.
But does that make me a better person than somebody who goes to McDonald's or takes their kids to eat different foods than I do or that I was raised with? No. And you stop being in communication. You stop connecting with another human being when you judge their food choices as wrong and bad. How we eat, it so defines who we are. It's so central to our human identity. And it's how we relate to our family and our friends. It's how we share ourselves.
Well, and these cravings, as you talk about, when you're listening to your body, you're realizing that your body is wanting certain things that you may be depriving it of. So these may be clues, as you see it, into something deeper that you need to pay attention to. And obviously, cravings and desire has some parallel to sex and physical desire, not just food. So how do you see those two things being correlated?
Absolutely. I mean, it goes back. It's so nuanced and it's such an old story. If you go back to the Bible, the first story of Adam and Eve.
Biting that apple.
Right? She wanted that apple and it was nourishment. It was curiosity. It was knowledge of how your body works and what it's capable of. I mean, the female human body, I can only speak for women because that's what I am. The female human body is capable of so much pleasure. And from the original story, we have been taught that indulging, seeking, enjoying that pleasure is A, sinful and shameful, B, going to get us kicked out of the garden, so you better watch out or you're going to be slut-shamed. I know some people are going to take exception with that conversation, but there are root causes to our very human biological cravings. There's 4 root causes to any craving. And once you know them, you can start looking at your cravings from a different perspective and start answering those cravings to bring you into balance. And that's all a craving is. It's a request from your body for balance.
Right.
And those 4 roots are bacterial, nutritional, physical, and emotional. Now, we are more bacterial than we are human. There's 10 times more bacterial cells in our body than there are human cells. Most of them live in the gut, the digestive system. We're just really starting to get a handle on this whole microbiome. But those bacteria crave sugar. a lot of the bad bacteria, like the yeasts that cause yeast infections, candida, live on sugar. So if you are a sugar addict and experiencing digestive problems, that may be a bacterially rooted craving.
And craving, it's not necessarily something that your body needs. It could be something that your body wants, but you would feel healthier if you resisted that craving, right?
Well, that's an interesting question, because the bacteria need the sugar to live. And if there's more of them in us, we're just a host. We're like a puppet. They're the puppet master. So they need it, and they communicate with us through our nervous system, through neurotransmitters. So it's an interesting question. But you as a human, yes, you want to kind of be in control of that. And after years of sugar addiction and bacterial overgrowth, people start to experience leaky gut. They experience candida, brain fog,
that is not, depression. That is not sexy at all.
No, not fun at all. So when you can, you need to heal that as a baseline. That's the root, the foundation to heal. But there are these other cravings that unfortunately we are, again, brainwashed out of or enculturated to fight against. We're physical beings. We're human animals. And our bodies were built for pleasure. Every instinct we have is either away from pain or towards pleasure.
Right.
And again, going back to how we're enculturated around sex and around food, most of us women have been dieting since we were, what, 12?
Born.
Now, girls, as
I was dieting in the womb, girl.
Yeah. It's because we came out and we looked at ourselves and we realized, this is not right. What's going on here? This is not good enough, obviously. So many of us have been on diet after diet, listening to other people's rules and expectations for our own bodies. So we don't even know what we're supposed to feel. We don't trust our body
so
anymore.
You have a sort of shortcut for anyone who's listening. You have a cravings quiz, because I'm sure there are listeners that are saying, I agree, I hear what you're saying, Alexandra, but I don't know what cravings I should be avoiding. I don't know what's right for my body. So fortunately for you guys, at alexandrajamieson.com, that's spelled J-A-M-I-E-S-O-N, you have this free quiz that breaks everybody down into three core types. I took the quiz, honey, and I am a firebrand, which didn't surprise me.
Ooh,
but
yeah.
But you have three types: firebrand, earth mama, and featherweight. And then in the report, you break down what food cravings that you might want to avoid. How did you come up with those three prototypes?
Well, I tell you what, I do not take credit for this. I basically rebranded or modernized the language from Ayurveda, which is the 5,000-year-old traditional medicine from India.
Yes.
So what we, you know, it's a sister science of yoga. Ayurveda puts us into three doshas or body types, or what I call cravings types. And those three doshas are vata, pitta, and kapha. Well, most, you know, people in America don't resonate with those words. So if I say firebrand, featherweight, earth mama, you can totally get a sense of what those three people might be like.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it into different language, but it's really about the Ayurvedic doshas.
Yes, so, it's a great quiz. And I did Ayurveda before. And yes, I was pitta. So it totally lined up with what I was expecting. And when you read the results, I hope everybody will check it out at alexandrajamieson.com. But they can get their own and read their own report. But it is interesting when you see the things that you're craving and you realize that there are certain things that you shouldn't necessarily be indulging in. Speaking of indulging, you do say in the book also, like I was saying earlier, there's sort of a correlation between sex and food. And one of your quotes from the book, when sex becomes too dangerous for us to fully enjoy, food becomes our version of safe sex. Girl,
yes.
That's deep.
Yeah. Well, again, this is an idea that has been around for a little while, but hasn't gotten enough play. And I really want this conversation to grow, that in this culture, in North America, the United States especially, we see sex as dangerous. It's everywhere in the media. It's in action films. Sex is dangerous. It's life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the news all the time as something to be afraid of. Whereas, so we have these desires for pleasure and expression and intimacy and connection. But if sex is off the table as dangerous, food becomes the obvious next option. Mm-hmm. Because sharing food with someone is the most intimate thing we do with another person in public. It's the most intimate way that we connect with other people and, again, define and share ourselves.
Another reason not to have a restaurant date, a dinner date as one of your first dates. Because it is very intimate. And then, yeah, it's a lot of pressure. And then you see things in the person and the way they eat and what they're eating that you subconsciously or consciously so make judgments about.
We shouldn't go on first dates at restaurants?
No.
Oh, wow.
No. Just drinks, coffee, something active.
I'm hungry, it's, though. Maybe well, I want sex.
You know what?
I'm just using him for the food.
Actually, I should qualify that. It depends on what your goal is.
If but I'm hungry, I'm going to go
If you're hungry, you should definitely go to dinner. But it is very intimate, Alex. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but when you explain it in those terms, it opens up that intimacy seeing into someone's plate.
It doesn't. And I really hope through this new book, Women, Food, and Desire, to help us all become a little bit more comfortable with enjoying both of them, with enjoying healthy sex and healthy food, because sex and food are two of the most basic biological impulses that we have as humans. And they're awesome. Sex and food are fantastic. They're two of the best things about being a human being. But we're so wrapped up and tied up in knots around both of them. And having these conversations, getting clear and honest and vulnerable about what we want, our experience with both of them, will help take the edge off, take the shame out of both of them about how much we enjoy them, and maybe bring us into alignment with how food and sex can actually help us be more of who we are.
Definitely. And this is sort of the tip of the iceberg. The book comes out January 6th, but people can pre-order it on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. But you also write cookbooks. You have a free cravings cookbook, right?
So this is such a cool thing. I put together a 50 plus recipe cookbook called the Cravings Cure Cookbook. Mm-hmm. And if you go to womenfoodanddesire.com, you can get that for free and help you put these ideas into action in your kitchen now to answer your cravings in a healthy way. So go to womenfoodanddesire.com, you'll get that cookbook, and then you can pre-order the book and get all these other cool bonuses, interviews and workouts and really cool access.
That's great. I will say I don't cook at all, but it's good to know. I mean, just from taking the cravings quiz, it's good to know that certain things that I wasn't even aware of are on my food to avoid list. And some of those things I have cravings for, like spinach. You know, what's very interesting. I recently had another child and my cravings changed. So that is that some sort of hormonal shift that's going on since you have the four points that you told us about before?
It can be. It could be a nutritional craving. You know, your body actually asks for the nutrients it needs in the easiest, most pleasurable way it knows how to get them. So most women are magnesium deficient. We don't get enough magnesium and essential minerals in our diet.
I've never thought about magnesium.
Guess what the easiest, most delicious way to get magnesium into your body is? Chocolate. It's a pretty good source of magnesium. So if you find that you're a super chocoholic, you may be magnesium deficient. And I put in the book access to these cool charts that show you all the magnesium-rich foods. Add more of those in.
That have fewer sugar calories in
exactly,
them.
Exactly. So things like hemp seeds, chia seeds, you know, things that are really easy to add to your diet.
That's all the rage out here. Chia seeds. Everybody's like high on chia seeds in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Well, I cannot wait to get my copy of Women, Food, and Desire. If for those of you listening at home, you can go right now to womenfoodanddesire.com, find out more about the book, get your Cravings Cure cookbook. And then also, Alexandra, you have your own website with so much more. You're a best-selling author. This is what, your fourth book?
Fourth book.
So Alexandra Jamieson, and that's spelled J-A-M-I-E-S-O-N, Dating.com. Go there and take the quiz and find out which one of the types you are. And hey, tweet me at DatesMatesMedia and let me know what your type is, and we can chat and we can get you a little bit more info on that from Alex. Thank you so much for joining us, Alex.
Thanks for having me. This was great.
Thank you. And for those of you listening at home, don't forget, this is the last month. I've been offering this to you for a while. It's free. And it's the 5 biggest online dating mistakes you're probably making now and how to fix them. And this is the biggest time for online dating. But I only am going to have this free video up for a limited time, only through the end of the month. And that's going to be something new. So if you want to get it, you want to find out what those mistakes are, make sure you go to datesandmates.com/5 biggest mistakes. We're going to be taking a little hiatus, enjoying a little holidays. So we're going to be off the air for a minute, but we'll be back February 2015. So in the meantime, I would love to answer your dating questions and your relationship questions. I'm online all the time at datesandmates.com. Thank you so much for listening, for making 2014 an amazing year. Happy holidays. And as always, happy dating.